And for the power of good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, it's Friday, which means I'm joined by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo today. It's Casual Friday. How you doing, Elisa?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Are you really great? You were just touching your neck and whispering, I need a massage.
I am great, yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Just, you know, from working out hard, I have a little aches and pains now and again. I need to go get a massage.
Yeah, I know those.
I think most of us do.
Yeah. Anybody who trains really hard, for sure. Anyway, great week. This week in the studio, lots of good shows. Do you know that we had 675 shares of the Dioxin show?
That's amazing. It was a great show.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know what? And I got emails from people who clearly have a vested interest in this. People who are, the survivors of, dads who were in Vietnam.
Didn't you get a comment that you wanted to read?
Well, I don't necessarily want to read the whole comment, but yes, absolutely. There was one person who actually posted a comment. Her name was Sharon Perry.
Okay.
And because in the title of the show, I said that this show is not only important to those whose fathers and grandfathers were in Vietnam, but to all people because of Monsanto's hinting that they want to reintroduce Agent Orange as an herbicide into modern agriculture. And she said, why did you say that this was an important show for the children of fathers and grandfathers who were in Vietnam? I guess she was implying that I was saying that there was some breaking news. No, it's important to those out there because even though there was not a direct line to the linkage of Agent Orange exposure in men and the epigenetic effects to the germline of their sperm downline, there is complete evidence in populations. We know that the children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and probably even further on out than that, of men who were exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam, passed along that epigenetic change because these children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are developing diseases related to that Agent Orange exposure.
Did she indicate that that's not the case?
No. I think she thought I meant that it's good news, like, hey, you're not going to get sick.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean that at all. What I meant was this shows closer the evidence that, yes, the reason that those people's children are getting diseases is because their fathers were exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam. Because keep in mind, one of the things I said to Dr. Skinner was, I have to tell you the most amazing thing I thought found out about this study. And he said, what's that? I said that it was co-funded by the Department of Defense. Because you have to remember, when these guys got out of Vietnam, and for decades later, the Department of Defense and the military acted like these diseases that they were dying from, many of them died from Hodgkin's disease and various types of very, very aggressive cancers. And everybody knew it was from the Agent Orange, but the military kept going, no, that's not what it's from, because no one wanted to be held culpable. Because don't forget, we sprayed this stuff on our guys. They were walking through the brush in Vietnam. They couldn't see the VC. So we thought, well, if we could just kill all the vegetation, then we have a wide open field where we could do our job. So they said, hey, we're going to deploy these big planes and just dump this stuff on the grass.
Whose bright idea was that anyway?
Oh, I don't know. We'd love to find out, wouldn't we?
Uh-huh.
But we do know that the two companies behind it were Dow Chemical and Monsanto. They were the ones that introduced Agent Orange.
Of course.
And so, you know, they went to the government and said, look, this stuff is perfectly safe. It's just going to kill the trees. Let's give our guys, you know, the chance they need to win this war. And so they told these guys, don't worry about it. And these guys, and the reason that it is orange, by the way, these guys were covered head to toe, like from orange rain. The trees did die. And then the guys died years later.
That's awful.
But the sad part is that their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are still developing diseases from exposure to that.
Mm-hmm.
And in my humble opinion...
Is this the first study that has addressed that?
No, it's not. But Dr. Skinner's group is really, really the one that's banging the drum really hard right now.
Oh, good.
You know, other people have looked at Agent Orange and its potential effects... transgenerational effects, but nobody's doing what Dr. Skinner is doing. And he's doing these studies that they're so well designed that you can't go, well, you know, we can't really take the meaning of this study to heart because it wasn't designed well or something like that. I mean, he's doing things the right way where other scientists are going, wow, you know.
Well, if you guys out there who haven't seen or listened to this show, you need to listen to it. It was a great show.
But you know what the other thing that people need to take away from this show?
What's that?
Something that I've been saying for a long time now. We embraced chemicals in the mid-1850s and forward. We thought chemicals were the greatest thing in the world. We can make things that kill things. We can make things that change their color.
Well, just this morning we were talking about pesticides made from arsenic and how they used that as the pesticide in the early 1900s.
Right.
That had contained arsenic.
You know, and we were idiots, folks. We were idiots. And the people, and we were not only, the average person wasn't an idiot, but the people who were approving the use of these things, who thought this would not hurt other people. Not only did it hurt people, but now we're finding out it's hurting people generations down. So this isn't just about Agent Orange. This is saying, look, before you listen to the FDA, who says we're going to introduce this new thing here and it's not going to hurt you, you need to step back and go, you know what? We've been told that thousands of times, and there's children being born with heart problems, with the neurological problems, because their great grandparents were exposed to things that you said were safe before.
Right.
This goes beyond Agent Orange, but in the Agent Orange thing, people need to understand that Monsanto wants to reintroduce a 50% strength Agent Orange because their Roundup doesn't work anymore. I mean, are you serious? I mean, Monsanto needs to go out of business once and for all.
Yes, and there's some other research out there, some stories that were just released about Whole Foods that carries GMO foods. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, and GMO, like, oh no, GMO is quite okay. Everything is fine. It's not really it's not a modification. It's still corn. It's still, we don't know that. Those scientists out there that are standing behind GMO, shame on you. There were scientists that stood behind Agent Orange back in the day.
We're like a bunch of mice being tested
in
a lab.
We're the Wistar rats. We're the lab rats.
Well, not us because we don't eat GMO corn, but people who do.
Yes.
Also, I wanted to bring up the show that you did on grumpy old men.
Yes.
It was an anti-aging show, but it was about those two grumpy old men.
Yeah, and I got a lot of emails about that as well.
Well, most of the emails you got were positive.
Very positive. I had one guy who's a friend of mine at the gym named Mark who said I should have just moved along and let the old guy be right.
Why?
That's his opinion.
Well, I understand that's his opinion, but did he tell you why he said that?
Well, you know, the old guy, you know, you should have let him, you know, be like, in other words, I guess his position is, you know, listen to your elders.
Right.
I don't subscribe to that theory.
Do you remember those movies, Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I liked those movies. But one thing that I wanted to point out in both of those movies was the two old men. Was it Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon?
That's right.
The two grumpy old men, and they got better and happier once they had women in their lives.
Yes. Guess why? Because sex makes you happy.
Is that why?
Oh, of course. The greatest reward in life is sex. But I disagree. I think that we got a lot out of that show. And what I got out of that show was choose not to be grumpy. That's the greatest anti-aging remedy in the world.
Well, like you said in the show, when you wake up in the morning, you choose to be happy.
Yeah.
Or you choose to be miserable. Take your path for that day.
Yeah. What do you think about first thing in the morning? Are you grumbling about the garbage man made too much noise emptying the garbage can? Or are you grumbling because your spouse got up this morning and woke you up ahead of time? You know, like, what are you grumbling about? Is that how you wake up? If that's how you wake up, you need to really reevaluate, like, why are you so angry? Maybe it's hormonal. Maybe you need to have your hormones checked. Because
mm-hmm.
we know that hormonal dispositions occur.
Right.
So, but anyway, yeah, it was a good show. I really enjoyed it.
It was.
And got a lot of good feedback about it, too.
Good. Okay, so how about the news anchor woman? You want to talk about her?
Jennifer Livingston, who's making a career about being obese.
Yes. She got an email from one of her viewers.
I'm trying to get the guy on the show.
Oh, good.
Okay, I want to give the guy a plug. Because first of all, the email that the guy sent was not derogatory. He did not call her fat. He didn't say anything inflammatory. He just said, basically, you are obese. You're on TV. You're setting an example for other people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she called him a bully. She called herself fat. He never said the word fat. She says, look, I know I'm fat. You know, you think I don't know that? You know, and speaking as a former 330-pound person, so I still have a card in my wallet. I'm officially a fat person, okay? I can tell you that nobody who's overweight wants to be overweight. None of us want to be overweight. We just can't figure out how to sidestep the problem effectively.
Well, what I don't understand was I watched the interview on the one of those morning shows, and her husband came out, who was also a news anchor at the same station, and said that his wife she works out, she trains hard, she does triathlons, she runs,
she did triathlons.
But she runs now and she works out. And that the reason why she is obese or fat is because she has a thyroid problem.
Right. And I don't buy that. And I'll tell you why. Because I didn't have a thyroid problem and I hit 330 real easy. And I never had a thyroid problem. And I don't think I would venture to say that most of the people who have compromised thyroids, who are obese, have compromised thyroids as a result of their obesity. It's corollary. It's not causative. Because when you become obese, your endocrine system goes berserk and nothing functions right. I'm sure that her ovaries aren't even functioning right. But
is there something that she or somebody listening can do, to help with, to make the thyroid healthier without?
Well, yeah. Expend more energy. And change your macronutrient ratios of what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we have to come back for a second, you know, to the government here.
Uh-huh.
Because the government tells people what to eat. You know, they tell them, well, you should be eating a cereal grain-based diet. Avoid too much animal protein. It's bad for you. Avoid fat. It's bad. Nothing is further from the truth. Look at the evidence is in the population. You know, we're going to be 50% of obese people here pretty soon.
Oh, by 2030, the population in Kentucky will be over 60% obese.
I know.
That's crazy.
And, you know, Amy Cozen sent me a very intelligently written email because she was outraged by Jennifer Livingston. And she pointed out Jennifer Livingston was the bully in this deal. She got on her television show and she lambasted this person. And put them in a position where she was the victim and they were the perp. But the reality was this person was saying something that had it been anything else but obesity, no one would have been upset. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say there's an anchor person that's on television who is an alcoholic. Now, I know the obese people are going to say, well, how can you compare alcoholism to obesity? Absolutely. Very, very similar. Okay. These are both addictions. They're risky behaviors and they're damaging your health, but you do them anyway. Okay. And if you don't think that obese people get a drug-like effect from the foods that they eat, then you need to look at the recent research that shows that carbohydrates are just like opiates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you see a guy, an anchorman, and he's an alcoholic. And he's living a risky lifestyle, driving drunk and doing all these risky things. And if you wrote a letter to him saying, you know what? You're a spokesperson for the community. You need to get some help because your alcoholism is setting a bad example for people who look up to you. Would he have gotten on his high horse and said, you know, I want to drink. Sure, I know I'm an alcoholic. It's okay. It's no big deal.
No. Never.
But you see, the problem is that we have so many obese people today. so many that they actually want rights that other people don't have the
it's
right
to. Startling to me.
Yeah.
Just like the guy. Remember the guy from White Castle?
Yeah, he wanted
to make the booth bigger?
Yeah, because he can't sit in anymore. What he needs to do is stop going to White Castles for a while.
Forever.
So, you know, this is nonsense. And now Livingston is, you know, on her high horse because we have to be sympathetic to obese people. Well, let me tell you something. For those of you who don't understand the ramifications of obesity poses a greater threat to the economic strength of this country than the real estate problems we have, than the terrorism problems that we have, that then the you take everything and lump it together, and nothing comes close to what obesity is doing to this country. All you have to do is look at healthcare. The healthcare problem is basically an obesity problem. All these obese people are on myriads of drugs, and they're sinking our economy.
Just to mention this really quick, when we were watching, this is not political, this is about what you're talking about. When we were watching the presidential debate, they did not mention, neither candidate mentioned anything about prevention.
Oh, no. And how many times have I said it? No one's asking the right questions. Why isn't anyone saying, well, why can't we keep people from getting sick?
I got an email from a listener who wants to stay anonymous, but he said not a single word on how to keep people from getting sick in the first place was mentioned.
No. And you know why? Because in order for them to talk honestly about why people are getting sick, then they would have to start telling people to stop eating things that the government subsidizes and has big investments in. Billions and billions of dollars of investments.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
It is.
But you know what? This is just another form of selection pressure, evolutionary selection pressure. And those people who get the message, they got the memo, they know what foods to stay away from, even though they're being told by the government, by the ads on the TV and newspaper, we stay away from those foods, we stay healthy, these other people get sick.
But there are people like some of our friends who we talk to who, you know, you have them working out and then they start taking their statins so that they can eat what they want.
Yeah, yeah. I know somebody who just went back on some drugs because that way he can eat whatever he wants now and he figures it's not damaging his body. It's damaging your body just the same. You're just not seeing the warning signs. It's basically like if you have a fire and you say, well, we could either put the fire out or we could just kill the fire alarm so we don't hear it. It doesn't annoy. Well, let's kill the fire alarm. Then it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. The house is still burning and you're going to die. The difference is you're not being annoyed by the alarm anymore, so you don't have to pay attention to it. So by masking your symptoms, you're not putting out the problem. You're not doing away with the problem. You're doing away with the body's attempt to try to tell you, hey, stop what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one last thing about Jennifer Livingston, and then we'll get off of it. If she has a thyroid problem and it's made her be 300 pounds, which has to have other health risk effects to it. Never mind inflammation that she can't measure. But I'm sure her blood sugar is all over the place. I'm sure her cholesterol is all over the place. I'm sure she has all sorts of other symptoms. She probably doesn't sleep well. She may even have sleep apnea, blah, 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 on and on. These are all the risk factors once you're obese, right? Diabesity. Wouldn't it be prudent for her to investigate a thyroid hormone supplement? Go to your doctor and say, look, if you tell me my thyroid's not functioning, can't you give me? I mean, if somebody's pancreas isn't working and their blood sugar's going through the roof, the doctor will put them on insulin. So if her thyroid's not working, why isn't she investigating Armour Thyroid or Synthroid or any thyroid medication so that she can regain her health?
Maybe she is. It just hasn't started working yet.
Maybe that's what it is. You're right. I'm assuming that she's not. And I apologize for that. You know what the sad part is? I feel bad for her.
Why?
Because she's eating healthy as far as she's concerned.
Well, a lot of people think they eat healthy and they're not.
I mean,
that's a whole nother story
that we could delve into. If you ask her, she'd probably say, but I eat healthy. I have cereal in the morning with one egg and juice. And toast, and, you know, and then for lunch I have a salad with
a turkey sandwich on whole wheat bread.
From Subways. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, you're eating healthy. The government's way of eating healthy. That's why you're dying.
And the whole wheat bread at Subway has plant fertilizer.
Yeah, aluminum hydroxide or something
like that.
To keep
the color brown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but keep the avocados out because I don't want all that extra fat.
Oh. Yes.
Anyway, we've gone way over on this first segment.
Okay.
And I apologize for my early rant, but let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We've got lots of really pertinent stories to talk
about.
Yes,
we do.
So stay tuned. You're listening to Casual Friday. We'll be right back.
Want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MRSUP. PBS.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
She's a very kinky girl. The kind who don't take home to my vibe.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is Casual Friday. I'm joined by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. And we discuss nutritional idiocies, FDA hypocrisies, and we will be addressing many listener emails at the end of the show.
Yes. So we were just talking about healthcare. The government.
And food.
So that leads me to talk about, have you heard, did you see the YouTube video of the students who were talking about being hungry because they're only getting a certain amount of calories in their school lunches now?
No, I haven't seen it. I know you told me about it, and I was shocked by this.
Okay, so the students are now getting, for elementary school students, they're getting 650 calories for their school lunch. The middle schoolers are getting 700 calories, and this is across the board. I mean, they don't take into consideration if someone is an athlete on the field hockey team, football team, basketball team, what have you.
Right.
And then for high school kids, they get 850 calories. One of the students in a USA Today article that I read said that last year they would get 6 chicken nuggets on their lunch, and now they've cut it down to 3 chicken nuggets on their lunch.
Right.
First of all, what's wrong with that?
Well,
chicken nuggets?
Back,
well, chicken nuggets, really?
Right.
I mean, couldn't they have a grilled chicken breast?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Well, because they're buying processed food at the school level. They're buying processed food from a food from a food service company. That's where they get their stuff from. They're going to have to buy chicken in bags.
So, oh, by the way, nuggets. This is called the Healthy Foods Act. That's what this is under.
Yeah, but
it's
what
been
I
implemented.
Do they have any macronutrient ratios?
So no, in other words, do not. Not on the article that I'm reading, they do not.
I would suspect that bread and grain-based products make up a large portion of that food. The couple pieces of protein they're getting from the chicken nuggets are nothing.
It says here that this to combat childhood obesity, it requires schools to serve more variety and larger portions of fruits and vegetables.
And see, that's the first mistake. Until this country gets the memo, fruits equal fat. If you want to be fat, if you want to get fat faster, if you want to keep your body fat and eat less, make it all fruit. Scientists will tell you that fruit turns into a fat before it can be used as a sugar for energy. Fructose turns into a long-chain triglyceride in the liver and is stored as a fat before it can be released as a form of energy. So why would anyone be feeding children fruit if they don't want children to be obese? I can see the vegetables, especially if they're organic. That's good.
But then you know they're not organic.
Well, of course. Unless they're doing a farm-to-table program like they do here in Kentucky in some of the schools.
Yes, that's
but
true.
I can see the vegetables, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But let these kids eat protein. What's wrong with you idiots? Let them eat healthy fats.
And on here, I was going to read this. It says, there are limits on the amount of grains and proteins that can be served over the course of a week.
Yeah.
Limits on the amount of grains and proteins on the course of a week. Mm.
This is insane. You know, this is another example. This is, why is it that government thinks they can legislate health? Look what they've done to people already legislating health.
Okay, so in Colorado, there is a school district that has outlawed all sweets, including cupcakes, candy bars, and yes, birthday cakes. Come, you know, usually like if you're in school, your mom will bring cupcakes or...
We always did the giant peanut butter cookie.
Well, that's been outlawed. And the kids can have cake in the schools as long as the mom follows a district-approved recipe.
Mm.
I mean, is that not crazy?
Didn't you tell me that they couldn't have cake sales anymore?
The school fundraisers off campus may not include sweets.
Yeah. Well,
that's
okay.
Crazy.
Okay. I gotta say this about that.
Okay.
I think that limiting access to sweets and school vending machines and stuff like that may not be a bad thing.
Okay.
That may not be a bad thing. But the idea that there is somewhere, somebody is creating, and keep in mind, it's probably somebody with a dietician's background, okay?
Uh-huh.
Somebody somewhere is creating a list of acceptable ingredients, and you can bet that artificial sweeteners are on that list. Kids should be not getting artificial sweeteners. You can bet that there are a lot of things on that list that are not good, but they think it's good.
Okay, so a teacher in Kansas posted a photo on Facebook of what the school lunch was. They served a cheese-stuffed breadstick, a small dollop of marinara sauce, 3 apple slices, and some raw spinach.
That was it?
That was it.
Where's the protein? In the cheese?
I guess so.
That's a disgusting meal. How could you feed that to a child? Children need protein so that they can build. Protein is the building blocks. How can you feed children that and think that you're being responsible? You're being derelict of your duties as guardians of those children by feeding them trash.
Well, I say take a brown bag with your homemade lunch with you to
school. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to be inspecting the bags.
Oh, remember the one girl, the little girl who her mother was fined because she did not have the correct ratio of proteins and fats.
You know what? This is getting out of hand.
The mother got fined.
Have you ever seen the people that work in the lunchroom? I mean, most of them are obese themselves. They're telling people what to eat. I want to see the people who are telling these children what to eat. I want to see them. I want to see them in their underwear and T-shirts. I want to see if they look like the model of health. I want to know what their biomarkers are. What are their inflammatory markers? What is their biological age versus chronological age before I take advice from them on what I should eat?
It's crazy. Okay, so Mayor Bloomberg has a new obsession.
Oh,
have you heard about this?
Let me guess. He wants chewing gum to be made directly out of toothpaste.
Bloomberg's latest obsession is sweets in the hospital. The other day, he announced a campaign to have sugary and fatty foods eliminated from all hospitals, public and private. It's supposed to be voluntary, but it says here that the bandwagon has momentum and hospitals are signing on. So it says like they're going to take.
I got to tell you, I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to
the candy thing.
Yeah,
but what about
the fatty
foods? Who's going to put the limit on what's a good fat and what's a bad fat?
That's part of the problem.
Because there are good fats, like that avocado you just talked about.
But you know what? It's just like, okay, so the superhuman nation has a movement abreast, right? Where we don't buy foods from traditional food sources like grocery stores. We buy our foods from our family farms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, every time there is a recall, an outbreak of listeria.
Which they're constant. They're constant.
None of us even pay attention to those. They're like, well, I get all my stuff from my farmer.
Well, there was just a recall of beef in Canada, and Carmela Sierzo posted she didn't have to worry because she gets beef from her local farmer.
There you go. Bravo, mm-hmm. Carmela.
Okay. Yes.
So there you go. All right. So example, right? So number two example. Don't pay attention to the government at all when it comes to food. When the government talks about your child should be eating this, let it go in one ear and out the other. Do not pay attention. And if you send your child to school with a meal and they inspect it and remove something, we need to get tough. You know that movie that's out right now where those two women take back the school?
Oh, yeah. I want to see that.
I know. With something Gyllenhaal and somebody else.
And the other woman did.
From The Help.
Yes, yes.
This is the movement that we need now. You know why that movement is popular? Because parents out there are disgusted. We're tired and disgusted of having these idiots who make the rules for schools telling us how to raise our children when they don't even do a good job with the part of our child raising that they are supposed to be responsible for. We need to, you know what? If your child is sent home, you need to challenge the school. You need to bring studies in and show that the meal that you brought to your child is actually healthy and the meal that they're feeding them is unhealthy. Because you know what we can do then? I say we sue the schools for the childhood illnesses. I say we start, you know what? Let's start a class action suit against schools for forcing our children to eat known unhealthy foods. Foods that cause them to be more obese, like lots of fruits.
Cheese stuffed bread.
I mean, is that for real? Cheese stuffed bread?
Okay, so here's a quote from Mayor Bloomberg. I just want you to pick out the key word here. If there's any place that should not allow smoking or try to make you eat healthy, you would think it'd be the hospital. Make you eat healthy?
Yeah, make you, because people don't know how to eat healthy.
Well, the government's trying. He's, you know, he's government. He's trying to make us and tell us what to do.
Yeah, because Bloomberg has. This is that whole thing like I talked about with Bill Gates. Once somebody gets a lot of money, they think they know everything. Right? So Bloomberg had a lot of money. He bought his way into the politics, and now he's going to tell everybody what to do. Mayor Bloomberg, chances are you're going to die of a heart attack or a stroke very shortly, and then everything that you've said is going to be taken with no gravity whatsoever because you can't keep yourself healthy.
Yes.
Oh my God. It makes me sick. I just want to run my head into a wall. Makes me sick. All right, we have to change it. Can we change the subject?
Sure. Just really quick, I saw an article. This is funny. It just caught my eye. A Kentucky restaurant closed after roadkill was found in the kitchen. Only in Kentucky would there be roadkill. Evidently, it was a Chinese restaurant. It was in northern Kentucky, like near Cincinnati on the border. It was a deer. One of the workers saw a dead deer on the side of the road. He picked it up, put it in his vehicle, took it to the restaurant. It was a Chinese restaurant. Someone was sitting. It was a buffet. Mm-hmm. Someone was sitting in the window. Another patron was going through the buffet, and they actually saw the workers with a garbage can, going out, putting the deer from the vehicle into the garbage can and dragging it into the kitchen. And there was blood, a stream of blood, a path of blood from the car to the kitchen of the restaurant.
Well, I mean, I have mixed feelings about this.
Really?
Okay.
Would you want to eat in a restaurant that had roadkill?
Wait. If that deer was just hit by a car, like an hour, 20 minutes before,
had a heart attack or something?
Okay, maybe it died of old age, but I don't think that's happened if it's laying right by the side of the road. But wait a minute.
No, I meant, like, if he got hit by a car and he was, like, severe
trauma,
wouldn't that affect
the quality of the meat?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't every... Why? You think cows don't realize they're being killed when they slaughter them? You don't think chickens know what's happening when they hang? You ever see how they kill chickens? They are on a conveyor belt hanging from their head, and a laser zaps their neck.
Well, what if that deer had been there for days and there was maggots on it?
That's a different story. Now, wait a minute. That's what I'm saying. Now, let me go back to what I said. If that deer was just killed an hour ago, 2 hours ago, it's fresh still. It's a fresh kill, right? Back in the day, I can tell you that in rural communities, when they used to find deers roadkill that were fresh, they used to bring them to the orphanages. The orphanages used to butcher them and feed them to the kids. I mean, that's still good meat. Whether it's you shot it or whether you hit it with a car, it's still good meat. It's fresh. Now, I know a Mennonite farmer who had a bison get loose and a Chevy 2-ton hit it. It totaled the 2-ton.
But, and you didn't buy any of
that
bison.
Well, I didn't buy any of that. That's right. I didn't buy any of that bison. But that was my choice. It wasn't because it wasn't healthy, because I said to you, it's probably going to be tough.
Well, but you should have the choice. They should write on their menu, this was roadkill.
But wait, how do you know they were going to put that in the food that they were serving? How do you know they weren't going to eat it themselves? That's venison.
Why are they putting it in the kitchen of the restaurant?
Well, that's where they butcher their meat. See, there's a lot of unknowns here.
They butcher their meat? That's not very sanitary if they're butchering their meat in a kitchen.
Well, where are you supposed to butcher it? In the basement? You butcher it in the kitchen. No, I understand your repulse about this idea, okay? But the reality is it's a dirty business slaughtering animals, no matter whether they're animals that were raised for slaughter or something you just hit on the side of the road. But, you know, there's a lot of unknowns here. The problem that I see is they got caught by the cliche. Chinese restaurants have been accused of serving cat to people for hundreds of years now. You know, mm-hmm. It's a running joke, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to see any kind of animal, you know, that's not supposed to be there hanging in a Chinese restaurant's kitchen makes you suspect that they're feeding it to the people.
One of the women said that the one that saw it from the window, she ran out and vomited because it made her sick when she saw it.
That would have been you. I guarantee you would have run out and vomited had you seen something like that.
I think so.
I know. We were watching something the other night on TV and you had to turn your head. I forget what it was, but it was something gross happened, and it wasn't bloody, but anyway, you had to turn your head, and I got a kick out of it.
I don't remember.
We have to take another break.
Okay.
All right, so let's do this. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we got more for you. It's Casual Friday. Stay tuned.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharge immediately.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Two of H-Force's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 testosterone boosting patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The power patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a 2-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
I have never endorsed a training guide before, The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
50 cent.
Okay, so I have something important that we should talk about here. Rice and arsenic. I mean, that's a continuing story that we hear because, you know, Dr. Oz, that's one thing. Good thing he's doing is that he's bringing it to the attention to the mainstream public.
Right.
Arsenic is in everything.
Right.
So a couple new studies came out, I guess, in September about arsenic and the risks and what we can do about it.
Right.
Okay, but there's one particular line here I would like to read to you.
Okay.
In 2001, the National Academy of Sciences estimated that people drinking arsenic contaminated water at 10 parts per billion would have a 1 in 300 risk of developing cancer over their lifetime.
Okay, so wait a minute. Stop there. That means if you drank tap water over your lifetime, the amount of arsenic that you would get from drinking tap water would increase your risks of getting cancer to a 1 in 300 risk. But that's all the water over your lifetime.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Recent research suggests that people ingest about that much arsenic in just a half cup serving of rice.
So that means for every half cup serving
half
of rice.
Half cup serving of rice.
Right. So that means for every half cup serving of rice.
You have a 1 in 300
risk. It increases
risk.
Your chances of, but to one. No, but that's every half cup.
Every that'll half be, cup that you eat.
Now think of all the rice that fitness people eat, right? Oh, chicken and rice 3 times a day while they're cutting. Just think about that for a second. All the arsenic in their bodies.
Now the reports came from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Consumer Reports magazine. The FDA. But they still don't have enough evidence to do anything about it. They're still pondering what kind of limits to set on arsenic in food.
Well, they can, first of all, they're not going to be able to set. Here's the problem. Here's why they're holding their breath. Because they know full well that they can't set levels for arsenic in food. How are they going to get arsenic out of the food? What are they going to do? They're going to tell all the people who grow rice, lift up acres of dirt and throw it away and lay down new clean topsoil? So there's no way to get arsenic out of these foods. Okay? No practical way that isn't going to make a pound of rice go from, you know, 16 cents to $16. So you know what? Don't wait for the FDA. Don't eat rice. Don't eat anything that you know has a high arsenic load, period. End of story. Let the people at the FDA take 6 years to figure out what to do, which is what they're going to do because they don't want to piss off their clients.
It says here, if you're preparing rice, to rinse it thoroughly and to boil it, brown rice only, not white rice. White rice is the worst, in a lot of water, as you do with pasta.
Okay.
Well, we don't eat pasta.
I'm going to tell you how to cook rice and not get any arsenic from it.
How?
Okay. You cook, first of all, you start out with warm water, not cold water. You boil the water, you add the rice. Once the rice is soft, you pour off the water, you put the rice in a plastic bag, you seal it up, you throw it in the trash. And hence, you've cooked rice, but you haven't absorbed any arsenic from it. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, you can't eat it.
Exactly. Okay, you don't think of rice as a component of snack and nutrition bars, but a recent study by scientists at Dartmouth College found high arsenic levels in processed foods sweetened with brown rice syrup, which are often aimed at the natural foods market.
Right.
So you have to read the ingredient list to make sure there's not brown rice syrup, and don't eat anything with brown rice syrup in it.
But you know what else? That means that I found a chip, because sometimes I want something crunchy. They have a rice and almond chip.
I know. I like those.
Can't eat them anymore. Just can't.
No.
Because they're predominant. Because I was like, okay, it's not corn. It's not grain.
It's rice and almonds.
You know, because potatoes I'm okay with for some starches, especially yams. But I thought, well, rice isn't the worst thing in the world. If I'm going to do my 20% cheat, but I can't have that anymore because there's arsenic in it. And just think about all of the rice baby food.
And rice cakes. I like rice cakes.
Yeah.
You can't have them.
No. So there you go. So want to stay away from arsenic and rice? Stay away from rice.
And also, you know, like you just said, the baby food. There's so much of rice and baby food.
Yeah.
And
when mothers wean a baby off of breast milk, and notice I said breast milk, because if you're not breastfeeding your baby, then don't have a baby. If you don't think that you can breastfeed, like if you say, well, I don't know if I can make myself breastfeed, it's so embarrassing, then don't have a baby. Because if you don't breastfeed your baby, then you shouldn't have a child then. Even dogs breastfeed. But with that being said, after you're finished breastfeeding your baby, okay, the one exception is if you can't breastfeed, if you don't produce any milk, you don't want the baby to starve. Okay, but if you're weaning the baby off of breast milk, the first thing people go to is rice pablum.
Mm-hmm.
Single grain pablum. That's it. It's just made out of rice. So now you're taking your baby off of beautiful, God-made, nature-made breast milk that happens to protect the baby against AIDS and everything else we know, and you're giving them arsenic. Think about that next time you feed your baby a little spoon and go, here comes the airplane, open your mouth. It actually is like an airplane. It has all the arsenic and metallics in it like an airplane that you're feeding your baby. Think about it.
Just make your own baby food. Grind your own food.
Well, you can't use rice.
No, but you can grind sweet potatoes and squash.
Yeah, as long as it's organic. It's got to be organic. Got to be organic. I mean, I can't say that enough. If you don't want to eat organic and you don't care about yourself, fine, but don't do that to your children.
Okay, so did you see the story about blue honey?
No. Is this like a new fad?
No. There's a town in France. The beekeepers are abuzz, the article says, over blue honey.
Mm.
And
Christian Dior created it.
Well, it's thought that the bees have been eating the sugary waste, get this, the sugary waste from M&M's. Small chocolates in brightly colored shells.
But where are they getting them? Well, I mean, are there big heaping piles of M&M's laying around in Paris, France?
The company deals with waste from a Mars chocolate factory, said it would clean the containers, store all the incoming waste in airtight containers, and process it promptly, according to a company statement, to keep it away from the bees.
So the bees are going, there happens to be a Mars candy factory there where the bees, close to where the bees are, and the bees are going there and obviously eating the sugar.
Well, evidently, the bees must be having problems finding other things to forage on.
Either that or they, look, bees are no different than people, right? They're looking for things to make honey out of, and if they can find pure sugar, That's probably like, wow, this is the gold mine. This is the mother lode. We're just going to go there. Forget about going from, you know, pollen infested bud to pollen infested bud. Let's just go there and eat the M&Ms.
It says here bee numbers have seen a rapid decline globally in recent years. In the UK, a harsh winter and unseasonally heavy rains this summer has meant that the bees have not been able to forage as much, and beekeepers have had to step in offering sugar syrup. So maybe they can't find what they need.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Right now.
That's why in my garden, I try and plant plants that the bees.
Bee friendly.
Yeah. And hummingbird friendly and butterfly friendly.
And we have so many bees even still right now, this late in the year, that when you pass the Russian sage bush, it sounds like a vibrator. It's like, you see bees all over the place.
I never thought of it like that, but okay.
Sorry.
Yes, but yes.
But you know what my fear is?
What's that?
Right now there's some idiot hearing this thinking, oh my God, so if we just get like food dye and sugar and feed it to bees, we can actually create blue honey and add blueberries to it and call it blueberry. Somebody's going to come out with colored honey now because of this freakish phenomenon.
Would you buy it?
Of course not. Of course not. But I'm telling you, the people out there who eat what the government tells them will buy it. So, what else do we have to talk about, Elisa?
Well, you know, we talked about before that there is a new manual coming out about disorders.
Right. The DSM. It's the psychology's go-to handbook, so they can treat everything from a person who picks their nose with their left hand versus their right hand. Go ahead. Everything's an illness today in the DSM.
Well, one of the new...
This is an illness, interrupting you right now. They'll say that this is some sort of pathology.
One of the new disorders that they've listed is nail biting.
Yeah, which one you get... A lot of people...
It's listed as a mental disorder. They put it in the same grouping with compulsive...
Behaviors. Yeah, like people who pull their hair out or self-mutilation, like cutting.
Or picking at their face, and that's some kind of a derm.
Now, think about how stupid this is, okay? So you got a kid who bites his nails when he gets nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're going to make it a treatable disease. So now
Is that so that they can get some kind of funding for it or something?
No, it's so stupid parents... will take their kid, they'll say, look, stop biting your nails. Like back in the day, a parent would say, stop biting your nails. And the child would stop while the parent was looking and then go back to doing it. So now the parent will say, stop biting your nails. And when the child doesn't obey, they'll take them to the psychiatrist and say, what are you here for, Mrs. Johnson? My son is a compulsive groomer. We'll fix that. We'll put him on some Prozac. Give him some other medications and he'll stop biting his nails, but he will be drooling a lot, as he won't be able to shut his mouth any longer. I mean, it's just, they're looking for, look, the psychology profession creates this DSM so that they can expand their net of ways to treat people. It's like, imagine, They create diseases. They don't have to wait for a disease to come up where people are dying from it. They just, nail biting. It's treatable. We can treat your child for nail biting.
There's another one that that's being added as well. It's called internet use disorder.
Oh God.
And
when they did that one, they probably went, oh my God, we're going to be millionaires because everybody does this.
That one is being listed as a condition recommended for further study.
Yeah. You know how they're going to study it, right?
Uh-uh.
Oh, they're going to Google it. They're going to get on the internet. They're going to actually subject themselves to internet disorder to find the information they need.
It says here, they're saying that some people who spend a lot of time on the internet demonstrate similar symptoms to people diagnosed with other addiction orders, and that the psychiatric community should study it and consider promoting it to a full-blown disorder down the road.
See? So now, anytime you use how long did you use the internet yesterday, Mr. Lenore? I think an hour. That's a bit excessive. We're going to have to put you on Prozac now. I mean, this is ridiculous. And again, this comes full circle. If you're stupid enough to take your child to a psychiatrist because they bite their nails, then you should lose the duty as a parent. What happened to us? Did we really lose our instinct in everything? I got to read something.
Okay.
I got to read some. This is perfect. I still love him, and loved George Carlin. I loved George Carlin from the time that I was a young boy, and he did the Hippy Dippy Weatherman on the Johnny Carson show. No, I take it back. It was on the Ed Sullivan show. I'm dating myself now, okay? George Carlin was not just a comedian, but he was a philosopher. He was a scholar. And the jokes he told were funny because they smacked of the truth. George Carlin said, now think about this. Where have you heard this term before? George Carlin was quoted as saying, governments don't want a population capable of critical thinking. Huh. There's
sounds
a new
like
term.
Something you've said.
They want obedient workers, people just smart enough to run the machines and just dumb enough to passively accept their situation. We are being told that we don't know how to raise our children. We don't know how to get through a marriage without reading a book. We don't know how to do anything without turning to some expert. There are life coaches out there, folks. Think about that for a second. A flipping life coach. Because you don't know how to live your life, they're going to teach you how to live your life. In my experience, these people, these intellectuals, they have more effed up lives that you don't know about. They can't let you know about it.
I know firsthand some people that do.
That we know two people who it's their job.
Very closely, we know them. I know them very closely.
It's their job to teach people how to handle their unruly children. And I got to tell you something. They raised the most unruly child in the world.
Yes.
Okay? So
yes.
These are the intellectuals that are going to tell you how to make your marriage work, how to raise your kids, how to find more joy in life. You need a life coach. This is nonsense, folks. You have all the answers in your head. When you apply critical thinking, all of the nonsense goes away. And George Carlin said it. The government doesn't want you to be a critical thinker. They want you to be a drone. They want you to be a sheeple. So anyway, I apologize. I had to read that. That was a great quote. That was actually put on my wall by Jim Laird. Thank you for sharing that, Jim.
Yes, thanks, Jim.
Okay, we can either take a break now or cover a short topic. Okay, we're going to take a break. Can we talk about vaccines when we come back?
Vaccines, and then I also want to talk about a cow named Daisy.
Yes, let's talk about a cow named Daisy. Stay tuned. You're listening to Casual Friday. We'll be right back.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21DayFit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21DayFit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Two of H-Force's most popular transdermal patches are now
now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, the aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Genetic modifications are everywhere today.
Evidently, in New Zealand, they've made a genetically modified cow by the name of Daisy. And the purpose was to make reduced allergy milk.
So it's basically to reduce the types of immunoglobulins found in cow's milk.
So let's talk about how they made Daisy.
Yes, please.
So instead of relying on manufacturing methods, the researchers focused on getting the source material free of whey. To decrease whey in milk directly, the New Zealand group created a cow free of 3-lactoglobulin. To do so, they combined two tools, nuclear transfer, a technique established during the days of cloning, and RNA interference, a technique relatively new for livestock used to shut down genes. They inserted a DNA fragment into cow somatic cell lines, or those not inherited, for cow lactating tissues. This DNA element shuts down production of 3-lactoglobulin in lactating tissues. They then transferred the transgenic nuclei into unfertilized egg cells that, when stimulated, became embryos that were implanted into the cow. A total of 57 cloned cow embryos. It resulted into 5 pregnancies, one of which was terminated to collect cells, and out of the 4 remaining pregnancies, one resulted in Daisy.
So basically what Daisy is supposed to do is produce milk that is devoid of certain lactoglobulins.
Yes.
So that babies won't be allergic to this particular version of cow's milk.
Yes.
And you have to remember, there is an unspoken about variant in this milk. And that is that it's pasteurized. The milk that they're talking about that children are allergic to is pasteurized cow's milk. And that's probably why they develop the allergic reaction to the immunoglobulins that are in there. Because in raw unpasteurized milk, those immunoglobulins are well known to actually help children avoid illness and make their immune system stronger.
Okay, so here is something else I'd like to read to you. Since the protein is not produced in human milk, it's not surprising that this protein may be recognized as a foreign protein in infants and cause allergies.
Okay.
And that's what you're saying, basically.
Well, yeah, there are other things going on in milk that we don't understand.
Okay.
That no one understands, that these people that are studying milk don't even understand. There are things that are going on in milk while it's unpasteurized that no one even cares about, because no one is selling unpasteurized milk to babies. They're giving them pasteurized milk. So everything has to start with pasteurized milk. But there are binding proteins that bind up these things that they're concerned about that inactivate them, so that children given unpasteurized milk probably don't develop the allergic reactions that children given pasteurized milk do. That's my point. But what they're trying to do is they're going to genetically modify the milk, which, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people going, wow, that's amazing. That science, wow, they can inject that. And there's a lot of people that are in awe of this, but you need to be afraid of it too. Because anytime we do something, whether it's creating Agent Orange and spraying it on people, or modifying genetics in foods and animals, anytime we do something, it has a ripple effect. And that ripple effect has often come back to show it wasn't good for us after we had time to realize.
Daisy was born premature by 4 weeks and without a tail.
That tells you something right there. This is the kind of cow that you probably would have put down.
We do have evidence that suggests that the lacking tail is due to an epigenetic defect.
Bingo.
And we believe it is not related to the genetic modification of the calf.
Oh, bull crap.
But this must be backed up by more results.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I can see it now. 50 years from now, a breed of cows without tails that make milk without certain immunoglobulins, just like nature wanted it.
Why do they have to go through all that? Why can't they just give the children, raw milk?
But they can't.
Why?
Because there's too much money invested against raw milk. But wait, forget that. Why aren't mothers breastfeeding? Why do we even need this alternative milk? I mean, we made it for 2,000 years, maybe longer. Wait, what am I saying? Millions of years we've breastfed babies. Why do we have to give them formulas now? So a mother can run back to work. That's what it's about. This isn't about the health of children and the benefit of mothers. This is about economics.
Speaking of economics, think of how much money they're spending on these types of projects. This scientist says here, when I started this project in 2007, it was my dream to see a hypoallergenic cow. I wish in the future we can produce hypoallergenic milk and market it and see it on store shelves. Yeah. They've been working on this since 2007.
Why? But why? Just let mothers breastfeed, damn it. What's wrong with these idiots? This is disgusting. Wait, we're going to make a mutant cow so that mothers don't have to do something that they are naturally predisposed to do, and it's the best thing for their babies, breastfeed. You know what? There is so much wrong with this world that I just wish there was a reboot button somewhere. We could just press it and start all over again. Go back to like the 1850s before we went down this path of embracing everything artificial and scientifically created.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a disaster. And it's getting worse and worse. And all the people out there that don't have critical thinking skills will embrace this. Oh, well, I'm buying the new genetically modified milk for my baby. Yeah, and when your baby has offspring without fingertips, you know, you'll go, oh, gee, you know, well, I wonder what happened. Yeah.
Carla Espinosa sent both of us a list that shows the supporters of the Prop 37.
Right.
And the opponents.
Right.
It says here, I mean, it's shocking to me. Monsanto donated over $7 million to try and to get it so that we don't have GMO labeling.
Right. And then DuPont, the second company, almost $5 million.
It's shocking to me. You know, say what you want about Mercola, but he donated $1 million in support of it, which, you know, you've got to give him kudos for doing that.
Yeah, I do. And or the Organic Consumers Fund, $770,000. Nature's Path Food, $610,000. Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps. They make Castile soaps and hemp soaps, $358,000.
You know, it's shocking to me. All Syngenta, $1 million. Coca-Cola, $1 million.
BASF, one of the largest chemical manufacturers in the world on an international scale, $2 million.
It's shocking to me. All of the people that are just, I mean, how...
Wait a minute, but you know what the best one is? Those of you who buy General Mills cereals for your kids. Well, first of all, anybody who's giving their kids cereal in the morning, shame on you. But General Mills donated almost $1 million so that people wouldn't know what is genetically modified. And you know why? Because they don't want to have to change what they put in their boxes. They don't care about your health. Oh, I can see it now. Genetically modified corn, and then you're going to be pouring milk in that's hypoallergenic from a genetically modified cow. Your child is going to be genetically modified pretty soon.
Did you say Dow 2 million?
Yeah, Dow 2 million. Here, look at this. Kellogg's, Hershey's, almost $500,000.
Nestle.
Del Monte, 600,000. Kellogg, 600,000.
Everybody just needs to stop buying anything from all of these companies.
Hormel.
Boycott
them. That's a funny
them.
One. That's a funny one. If you're still eating Spam, Hormel makes Spam, I believe.
Hershey, Del Monte. I mean, I don't eat food from these companies.
Bumblebee Foods, right?
That's a tuna.
Yeah, but they obviously make other things, right? With crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their tuna with soy broth now, and that's probably genetically modified. So they'd have to put a GMO soy on because of the soy broth.
Campbell's Soup. Dean's Foods.
Ocean Spray. Mm-hmm. The cranberry foods juice giant. Ocean Spray. They don't want you to know that there's genetically modified juices in their stuff. Campbell's. Shame on you, Campbell's Soup. People buy Campbell's Soup when they're sick.
Well, okay, so there's been a lot of stuff in the news also about Whole Foods, that the CEO confirmed in a blog post that Whole Foods knowingly sells Monsanto GMO corn in numerous products. And Whole Foods refuses to make its day-to-day shoppers aware of this horrifying fact.
But we're doing it now.
Yes, we're doing it now, and I guess we won't be shopping at Whole Foods. We don't very often anyway.
No.
I mean, most of our stuff comes from the farmer.
I'm trying to think, what do we get? We get at Whole Foods. We get stevia from them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what else we get from them. We buy some cheeses from them. There's a couple cheeses.
Well, Kenny's cheeses, and Kenny's cheese is a local cheese raw from raw milk. We can buy that locally instead of from
Whole
Foods.
Foods.
Just go
we
to
just
the
buy
farm.
A couple things from Whole Foods now.
Yeah. And Trader Joe's, we still go there sometimes.
Yeah.
When we need a few things. But, yeah, just it's frightening. It really is.
Can we change gears here for a second?
Sure.
Can we talk about vaccines for a second?
Sure.
What I want to talk about vaccines is very short, actually, because we've been talking about vaccines forever. And the truth is, if you're getting vaccines, you know, you're really playing Russian roulette with your health, because we just don't know what vaccines do or don't do. And as far as I'm concerned, it's better to err on the side of caution and just not introduce these things to your body, especially if they have thimerosal, which has mercury, right?
Right.
The CDC has a page for seasonal influenza and the flu vaccine.
CDC.gov.
I just want to read the first sentence. Who should get vaccinated? Everyone who is at least 6 months old of age should get a flu vaccine this season.
6 months old?
Shame on you, the CDC. You know, their investment in that movie, Contagion. To make them look like the vaccines that they were developing and were all these wonderful things. These vaccines are not wonderful things. They're not wonderful things. And shame on you if you apply the notion, well, some people have to die for the greater good. Shame on you.
Some children 6 months through 8 years of age require two doses of the vaccine.
Yeah. If they don't get autism with the first dose, go back for a second one.
They require two doses. That's crazy.
It's, you know what? It's startling to me. There are good people at the CDC. The CDC is doing good things. It's not like, oh, they're all bad. Just like there's probably good people at the FDA, harder to find, but there's good people at the CDC. The people who are working on getting the word out that you can reverse diabetes. You don't have to go on insulin and medications. You can actually reverse type 2 diabetes. But I feel that their open promotion of vaccines, just like they did with along with the WHO when they said that there was a pandemic coming and everybody bought all those H1N1 vaccines and the pandemic never came. Nothing happened. Like, you know what? It's like, you gotta stop betting on this one. You gotta stop. People see through it. Let the people who want vaccines go get them. But stop saying everybody should get a vaccine. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Says who should not be vaccinated? Someone who has a history of GBS within 6 weeks following receipt of influenza vaccine.
Yeah, GBS is
Julian Barr syndrome,
which is the human version of mad cow disease.
And it was caused from the vaccine.
Right. So don't go get another vaccine, they're telling you.
Yes.
If you had an outbreak of GBS after a vaccine, don't get another one. Duh. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is just Russian roulette. You're playing with people's health. And you know what? Look at. I mean, I have to keep going back to Agent Orange. Look at the epigenetic effects of Agent Orange. You don't know. You know what? Here's what I say. If the CDC and Bill Gates are so convinced that vaccines are good, take all of your money, put it in an escrow account so that the people who are getting sick from vaccines can go and dip into that money. You pay for the bad vaccines that have gone. Bill Gates, take all of your money and put it into an escrow account. So 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when they look back and go, well, those vaccines caused these diseases, that we can use your money to pay those families for their suffering and pain for something that you promoted that people should do. Put your money where your mouth is. If you believe vaccines are good, get everyone you know vaccinated and give your money to an organization that will help distribute it later on when we find out what we always find out, that it caused epigenetic changes in transgenerational process and people became sick and diseased from it. This is ridiculous. I mean, how did we make it all these thousands of years without vaccines? How did we get here before we grew brain? Oh, we got so, now we know better. We have brains now. We need vaccines. And you know what? If I have one more person say to me when I ask some of these questions, well, we're living longer now. I swear to God, I'm gonna start carrying a small sap. You know what a sap is?
No.
It's a long leather thing with a wad of lead in the front of it. The police used to use them to knock guys out. It knocks you out really fast. You hit somebody in the head, they just go right down. It's called a sap. I'm gonna carry a sap. Next time somebody says to me, well, we're living longer, that's the problem, I'm gonna sap them. Because we're not living longer. We've lived to be 60, 70, 80, 90, and even 100, and even 100 and teens forever. If we're living longer, show me a 140-year-old person. No, we're still living to be 60, 70, 80, 90, and 100 years old. It's just that now we're doing it in institutions, crapping ourselves, facing a TV all day long, and not being able to make sense of what we're looking at. We're not living longer. Stop saying that. The medical orthodoxy, stop saying we're living longer. We're not. We're living the same amount of time, but now we're sick instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working, folks. Not working. We have to take a break.
Okay. When we come out of the break, I want to talk just quickly about hemp seed.
Yes. Hold on a second. Let me get my hemp seed burning. All right. We're going to talk more when we get back from the break. You're listening to Casual Friday. We'll be right back.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to the non-ranting portion of Casual Friday.
Carl just looked at me and said, I will not rant anymore for the rest of this show.
I'm not. Because it's getting me too... You know what happens? Remember, I had to do a bio not too long ago, and a guy interviewed me, a very, very skilled writer. And the opening line of the bio is about how angry I am. And I thought, how did he... Like, was I really angry? And when I talked to him later on, he was like, well, you know, every time I would bring up this subject, you would like... get angry about it. And I said, you know, I guess you're right. I am angry.
But you're not really angry. You're passionate.
No, part of it is anger. I feel like so many people out there whose lives are being shortened unnecessarily because of misinformation. How is that any different than just killing somebody? If you kill them slowly over 10, 15, 20 years, how is that any different than just coming to them 15 years up the road and shooting them? And the fact is, groups like the FDA, Monsanto, these are the companies and the groups that are shortening people's lives unnecessarily for monetary purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I am angry. I am angry.
Okay, so let's talk just quickly about hemp seed.
That'll make me happy.
Cells cannot function properly if the DNA is damaged. However, the cells can, through chemical processes, reverse the damage themselves.
Now, this is exciting.
Hemp seed and hemp seed oil have been found to be a factor in DNA repair. Hemp has the perfect 3-to-1 ratio of omega fatty acids, omega-3 and omega-6,
right,
needed by the human body. One job of omega-3 is cellular repair. Hemp is 65% protein, 35% of which is globulin edistine protein.
Okay.
It is the protein that is closest to the human globulin and is very easily digestible by the body.
Hmm.
The protein is a major factor in DNA repair, and as the cells use that protein to correct the DNA damage.
Wow. So I think I need to add hemp oil to my diet.
Right.
Maybe we should get some today.
Okay. Instead of olive oil?
I mean, add it to the mix.
In addition to.
Well, I was thinking of fish oil, because fish oil has, you know, omega-3 to omega-6.
Mm-hmm.
ratios. But maybe I need to add hemp oil with my...
To cook with the hemp oil.
I'm just thinking about doing shooters of it.
Oh.
Why oxidize it? Why heat it up? I'll just do a shooter of it. Maybe I'll wash my TA-65 down with it. So I'm increasing telomere length while repairing DNA at the same time.
It's also responsible for boosting the immune system.
Which it seems like everything that repairs DNA or affects DNA seems to have an immune system effect as well, I find. That's mm-hmm. really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What next?
You wanted to talk about...
Free Lipitor. Yeah. Well, you have to talk about it because the story is something that you sent to me. This was on NPR.org, right? And yes. Is it Costco or Sam's Club?
How cheap can Lipitor get? Try free. That's the name of the article. It's from NPR.
Right, because Lipitor came out of patent protection. And the company that manufactured Lipitor was who? Why can't I remember now? It's going to come to me in a second. But anyway.
The generic version is now available.
Right, because it came out of patent protection. So they were worried like, oh, my God, we're going to lose all this revenue from Lipitor. So they're trying to find creative ways to use Lipitor now.
Right. Well, Lipitor is still $4.28 a pill at Costco.
Right.
But at Meijer, which is a privately held based company. It's based out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, but we have Meijer's here in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's a big grocery store, basically.
They are now offering free atorvastatin. Is that how you pronounce that?
Atorvastatin, maybe.
Atorvastatin at its pharmacies. You have to pick up your prescriptions in person. I guess they're doing that to get you into the store and thinking that you'll buy other things.
So you have to have a prescription for Lipitor, first of all.
Uh-huh.
You go there and get the generic version. And get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just handing it out to kids when they, you know, hey, want a Lipitor? Like they give away samples of food, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Meijer is a privately held company, so they said they don't have to disclose sales, profits, or cost numbers.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm. So they're not saying if it's helping them or not.
Now, who's the guy? Wasn't there a guy in the UK that wanted to give away free statin drugs with every meal somewhere or something?
He wanted to, like, if you go get a McDonald's hamburger, get a statin with your hamburger. That's crazy.
So smart. These people are so smart. Oh, my God.
It's just crazy. And companies are running scared because, you know, since, like, the generic version is available now. I mean, who would free or $4.28 a pill at Costco?
Right.
You know, which one would you do?
Oh, of course. But you know what's going to happen, right?
What?
Well, Lipitor is going to, I take that back. Doctors are going to start prescribing Lipitor and not a generic. See, the company manufactures Lipitor.
So the pharmacist can't replace it with a generic?
He has to have the doctor's approval.
Oh.
So doctors are going to say Lipitor, no generic, and then that it's going to have to be Lipitor. But then what's going to happen is it's going to cause problems with the really scary part is that people take their doctor's advice when it comes to statin drugs.
Exactly. Or they stay on their statin drugs so they can eat whatever they want, knowing that it's not good for you.
Yeah, right. So, it's sad.
It is very sad. Okay, so did you want to talk about some listener questions?
Yes, we have a lot of them. We really do.
Yes, we do. Since we didn't have a show last week, we kind of have quite a few things.
The first one I want to read, I just got in the email. Jill Escher. I don't know if you remember Jill, but she came on a show with Pam Colleen that we talked about America's sugar addiction. She and Pam, went on a campaign to create a national sugar awareness campaign, and they came on our show to talk about it. Well, she found out that I did the show with Dr. Skinner the other day. I'm telling you, that show was wildly popular.
It really was.
And she said, while she did that show about the addiction of sugar, her main passion in life, however, is germline environmental epigenetics. Because she was heavily exposed in utero to multiple synthetic hormone drugs. And now she has some issues as a result of it. And she says, I was thrilled to hear your interview with Dr. Skinner. And I hope this is a subject that you can revisit in the future. I hope more media personalities will follow your lead and begin to grasp how profoundly important this subject is. But, you know, I got to keep coming back and say, it's not just Agent Orange. It's all this stuff. It's Daisy the cow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's all these things. The epigenetic effects of everything that we're doing to ourselves right now. So critical. Do you have anything that we want to
read? I do. James Gooden has a question for you. He recently re-injured his back. He blew a disc while he was in the military 5 years ago. I am positive my disc is slipped or bulging again. The doctor put me on prednisone to reduce the inflammation. Yeah. I was wondering if you know of any foods or over-the-counter supplements that can help with this issue and reduce inflammation.
Well, discs are filled with fluid similar to the joints in your body. So I have to believe that anything that would help the joints will help the discs. I mean, I have to believe that high doses of vitamin C, high doses of glucosamine and chondroitin, anything that that has an impact on soft tissue, growth hormone and or growth hormone secretagogues like GHRP2, I have to believe that those things are all good for the repair of soft tissue.
Right.
I have to also believe that spending time in an inversion table can be beneficial.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
To take the loading off of the spine while those things are working. And never ever lift anything with your shoulders out of alignment with your hips. And what I mean by that is you see people doing these movements. You ever see somebody who takes a medicine ball, Elisa, and they go side to side with it?
Uh-huh.
Worst thing you can do for your discs. Your discs have a certain strength when you're facing forward and your hips are facing forward and your face is facing forward and your shoulders are facing forward. If you turn at the waist so that your shoulders and your face are facing 30 degrees to the right or 30, your disc only has 50% of its strength.
So people are doing that to work their obliques, right?
You have to be careful. The things that you do to work your obliques, you cannot load. Can't stand
so
and load.
So what should one do to work their obliques?
I don't know.
Just do it without...
Just body weight crunches and
without
stuff.
Without the weight.
Yeah, but it has more to do with when you're standing.
Okay.
When if you're on a Roman chair laying down, it's a different story.
Okay.
But if your spine is loaded, the weight is loaded, your spine is straight up and down, it's perpendicular to the floor, and you're doing things where you rotate at the waist, you're actually impairing the strength of your discs to handle the weight.
Right.
So it's very, very dangerous. But that's all I could suggest at this point in time.
Also, just that question brought to mind the new meningitis cases that are linked to steroid injections in the spine. And the first one was detected in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And now there's, I don't know what the update is on how many people have been injected and are now getting meningitis, but it's crazy scary.
Yeah. And of course, you know, these are things that I don't know how to feel about that. If you have, you know, a lot of people who have real severe pain, they're going to have corticosteroids directly injected into the spinal fluid, maybe to relieve pain or something like that. You know, this is a mishap. I don't know what was in those injections that could cause the meningitis. Isn't meningitis it's a bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's coming from the steroid that's being injected into the spinal area.
I have a question from Joe in Ottawa. He's been listening to the show for about 9 months, loves the show. He's, I'm wondering if you can help me with something. I know you've been on testosterone replacement therapy for some time now, and you encourage all men to consider doing the same when the time comes. Well, I'll be 43 years old in a few weeks, and yesterday, my doctor suggested that I go on testosterone and enanthate injections because my test levels came back very, very low in the low range of normal. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against TRT, but just a little apprehensive because shutting down my own body's natural testosterone production at my relatively young age is a concern. I really didn't think I would be at this point until I was closer to 50. I would love to hear your thoughts on this and would appreciate any advice that you may have to offer. I would suggest that your doctor first try to identify why your testosterone is so low.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have high estrogen levels? Do you need an aromatase inhibitor? I would also suggest that he do some sort of a challenge test where they inject you directly with gonadotropin-releasing hormone and see if your testes produce testosterone. Identify whether the problem is in the testes, the pituitary, or the hypothalamus before going right to testosterone therapy if you want to find out if you can restart your own testosterone production. And obviously, some of the go-to methods of clomiphene citrate and human chronic gonadotropin HCG could be first line approaches before going right to frank administration of testosterone. These are things that your doctor should explore with you. You're going to have to push your doctor to explore these things because chances are it's going to require an endocrinologist involvement somewhere along the line, especially if you're doing a challenge test, a gonadotropin-releasing hormone challenge test, to identify whether the problem is in your testes, in your hypothalamus, in your pituitary, or so on. Then if you find out that it's your pituitary or hypothalamus, you may have no choice. But if you find out that it's a result of an underproductive or overproductive hormone level, you can address that instead of the testosterone, perhaps. But it may, you know, you're just going to have to play it by ear. A lot of time, I would wonder, Joe, did your doctor do a high sensitivity estrogen test for estradiol, E2? I would like to know what you, because if your E2 levels are raging, that's why your testosterone is low. Fix that and the testosterone will come back up. So I need some more information from you, Joe, to understand. Okay.
I have another one.
Okay.
Michael Wutini Marr. I guess it's pronounced just like Bill Maher. That's what he wrote because I mispronounced it last week or okay. a couple weeks ago. Recently, he was listening to a podcast where they talked about using ice for recovery. It was mentioned that it is a long-held bro science belief that if you put ice on your testicles, it would support or it would improve testosterone production. This seems to be an April Fool's joke, but he asked Dr. Google, and sure enough, lots of hits came up about it. I was wondering if you or Carl or one of the excellent guests could comment on this.
Okay. This is probably a result of a long-held understanding in the infertility world that men who wear really, really tight underwear produce less sperm because the body heat causes a lowered spermatogenesis and possibly a lower testosterone production. Think about it. We were never made to wear clothes. The testicles hang away from the body, at least to some degree, an inch or more. And that's because the testicles don't like to be overheated. Well, the testicles don't like to be over-frozen either. I don't think that icing your testicles can do anything good for you. Icing your testicles can actually cause vascular constriction, which is not a good thing. And also could cause some shock to your testicles because they're very small and they're not able to manage body temperature very easily. Hence why guys who wear tight clothes and have their testicles pressed up against their body, their testicles become overheated just from that heat change of being close to the body. So I would have to say without doing any real research, and I wouldn't trust Google without reading science, that icing your testicles is not a good idea. Not a good idea. And I can see it being an April Fool's joke, getting some kid to sit on a bag of ice thinking he's going to produce more testosterone. And quite frankly, it can do some harm. I know for a fact when I work with thoroughbred racehorses that we would stand them in an ice tub before a race to numb their legs when they had certain injuries. There was a very fine line between icing them and causing a vascular constriction that actually caused necrosis in the leg. So I wouldn't fool around with icing my testicles, personally. They're very delicate. You know, if you're worried about testosterone levels, you know, and you have your testosterone checked, switch to boxers. Get them away from your body. So that's my statement. And I'm sure if Adele Musa listens to this, he probably has some research that'll either prove me wrong or prove me right.
Okay, this one comes from someone by the name of Milo. It came as an on-air question.
Okay.
Says he's been a dedicated listener for the past few months. He wished he knew about the show earlier. He's a part owner of a nutrition store in Florida and a full-time firefighter. He changed my look on the way supplements and nutrition are. He's changed his looks on the way supplement and nutrition are. As an amateur bodybuilder, I too have adopted some changes in nutrition and supplementation for greater results in and out of the gym. I recently went back and listened to some old shows and came across the raw food episode. Yeah. My question to you would be, I do not have access to a farmer as I live in Fort Lauderdale, Miami metropolitan. Would it be beneficial to eat the raw food diet from foods that I can obtain from Whole Foods? i.e. grass-fed beef, eggs, etc. I heard you mention you have done this in the past when you lived in Phoenix. Any info or help would be much appreciated.
Yeah, and so, and as does Joshua Trentin. If you listen to that raw, we did two raw food shows. There was a follow-up show to the one you're that you're talking about you should look for, where I asked Josh, because Josh travels a lot. And, you know, Josh will go into a grocery store and buy fresh ground beef and fresh steak and so on and so forth, knowing that it's fresh. He'll ask the butcher, and sometimes it's not grass-fed either. He buys what he can get. I have absolutely had to eat grass-fed beef raw that came from Whole Foods, and I would go to the butcher, and I would say to the butcher, I'm going to eat this raw. When did you get it? And he'll say, we just got that today, we just got it yesterday, or he'll say, well, you want a piece of steak? I've got something that just came in today. Just tell the butcher you plan on eating it raw. You're going to find out that there's a lot of people who eat raw meat. So, yes, my answer is, if you don't have a family farm to do business with, go to someplace like Whole Foods where they have a butcher, not just a display case of plastic-clad beef, and tell the butcher, especially if he has grass-fed, grass-finished beef, tell the butcher, hey, I'm going to eat this raw. What's your freshest cut that you have today? And get it. And if you want, you know, if this is new to you, I would start off, quite frankly, with the tenderloin. I'd start off with filet. It's an expensive piece, but it's so easy to eat. It's like eating butter. So good. And then, of course, if you go for the more expensive cuts of meat, assuming that they clean their grinders, have them ground it for you, it's much easier to eat. So, yep, that's what you got to do. And Josh does the same thing. He goes into a grocery store and buys it. Okay. Okay. And that was actually my question. And I promised to give him a plug. His, hold on. Now, I just had this in front of me. Isn't that funny?
His supplement.
Yeah, his supplement store in St. Lucia. Or St. Lucie, L-U-C-I-E, Florida.
Oh, we're going to be there in November.
I know.
That's where we're going.
Yeah, it's called Muscle Quest in Point St. Lucie, L-U-C-I-E, Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have to stop in there and get some protein drinks.
We're planning a cruise for Superhuman Radio listeners, and we have to go check out the cruise
ships.
Honey,
we haven't told them. Well, now let's talk about it. Let's talk about
it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's going to be in what, September or October of next year?
September, probably. Well, depending on when we can get everything done by.
September of next year, we're going to have a cruise. It's going to be a really great cruise. It's going to be 4 days?
I think it's a longer cruise, like five.
5 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a five-day cruise, and it's going to encompass lectures. We're going to have guest speakers. It's going to be fantastic. That's all we're going to say right now. And we're actually going to be checking out some cruise lines in Florida for the cruise.
Go check and see which ones we like.
Yeah. And we're going to have ancestral diet for everybody while they're there. Very cool stuff going on. Okay.
Okay, so this one is from Jason Leloux. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because he said you pronounced it right on.
Yeah, Leloux. Yeah.
Leloux, okay. He just gave blood the other day, and the lady said that his iron level was 42. He can remember you saying that lots of people have too much iron, but how much is too much? And he says, well, that's question number one. So
I don't have an answer for him on that one. I'm going to have to, no. I'll have to get somebody like Dr. Matt Andre on the show to talk about iron then.
Okay. We should do that.
Yeah.
I'm making myself
because
a note
there's a
right
couple,
now.
Because there's ferritin. There's a couple different readings that are important when you're looking at iron. There's bound iron and unbound iron.
Well, let's do that. We'll get Matt Andre on. We've been needing to get him back on anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Then his next question is, what is a bolus dose?
Mean the meaning of bolus?
Mm-hmm.
Bolus is usually means large. Larger than just therapeutic. The word bolus was first introduced to me as a kid working on the racetrack. And a veterinarian would give a horse a bolus of phenylbutazone. It was a huge tablet, much bigger than the little normal tablet. So bolus generally is taken to mean larger than normal, like a larger than normal dose of something. And in the area of a meal, bolus can mean a large meal or a large gulp. Like if you have a bolus of an after workout, post workout drink. It means you fill your mouth up with it. It's much more than what you normally would sip.
Mm-hmm.
So bolus generally implies, loosely implies, a larger amount of something going down your throat into your stomach. Okay.
Okay. And then I just have one thing here that must have been listening live. Oh, sorry. I don't know if I should have said her name.
Well, let me read this question first.
Okay.
Okay. This one comes from a listener of the show in California, C. Tisdale. He said, I'd like to hear Michael Smith from Life Extension weigh in on your assessment of inflammation. Because yesterday I talked about how not all inflammation is bad. Some inflammation is good. He said he talks about lowering it, he talks a lot about lowering it. Would it be interesting to get his take on this? I seem to think inflammation is one cause that's a problem for a man's prostate and other factors, of course. So I am going to have Michael Smith come on and talk about inflammation, but I wanted to mention something about the prostate, a case in point to support my opinion about not all inflammation is bad. If a man has an orgasm, his PSAs go through the roof for about 24 hours. And there is scarring that occurs to the prostate that actually makes it larger and thicker. Every time a man has an orgasm, he has a small scar to his prostate that makes it larger and thicker. Hence, a form of benign prostatic hypertrophy. However, it's well understood in science that the more orgasms a man has, the lower his probability of developing prostate cancer goes down. So here's an example where the inflammation of the prostate is actually protective of the prostate. So we have to be very careful. You know, we're so good at latching onto something and that's the way it is. Not all inflammation is bad. Here's an example where a type of inflammatory response of the prostate actually makes it healthier, actually makes it stronger, and actually lowers your risk of prostate cancer. But I'll have Dr. Michael Smith on the show to talk about that. And then there was one more item that I got on Facebook from Australia. Larissa Tricky. She said, I just wanted to write you and tell you something that I was absolutely gobsmacked at today. I had the TV on and Dr. Oz happened to be on, and I usually tune right out when he speaks. However, something he said grabbed my attention. Eating gluten-free makes you fat and piles on calories. This is what he said. This is really interesting. Basically, his whole presentation was about how good processed wheat is for you. He forgot to mention the illness that comes with it. While anything gluten-free that you eat will go straight to your hips, so avoid gluten-free. I can only imagine how much he got paid for this. Anyway, I had to share this. Really blew my mind. Thanks for all the awesome work that you do, educating people. I love your show, Larissa. Could you imagine, and I believe her. I believe he said, could you imagine that Dr. Oz is telling people that eating gluten-free is going to make you fat? He's absolutely a sellout. Don't forget, his station gets millions and millions of dollars from companies like Kellogg's and companies that manufacture grain-based products. Of course he's got to lie. He's got to lie. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So eating gluten-free is going to make you fat now. Avoiding grains is going to make you fat. Tell that to Bill O'Reilly, who took grains out of his diet. His allergies went away. He lost weight. He feels great.
So, but was he not talking about eating gluten-free products to replace the wheat?
Well, I'm sure. Well, there are a lot of gluten-free products out there.
Because when Mrs. X came on the show, she said that she was eating gluten-free products and had gained some weight.
And that may be the problem. Maybe they replaced the wheat with other sources of high glycemic carbohydrates.
And that's what probably is happening.
He's making a statement that's designed to be sensational because, as I said before, people get caught up on one little, that's not true. It's not true. Eating gluten-free won't make you fat, but eating products that have manufactured and marketed, processed, manufactured, marketed products to the gluten-free market may make you fat, but people who are eating gluten-free eliminate wheat and grains from their diet. That's the first step. Replacing them with alternative grains isn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, he's wrong. But that's one of those statements designed to make more people tune in. That's all it is.
Right.
And, of course, Professor Andrew is listening live. Adele Moussa said, bolus, according to the OED, a single dose of a drug, contrast, medium, etc., introduced rapidly into the blood vessel. The rapidity versus slow buildup is the main point, not the size. Also, with regard to inflammation has nothing to do with damage, at least not what we measure as inflammation, i.e. signals. Dr. Smith will not find that funny because this will hamper the sales of 99% of their products. Adele, see, now this is the difference. See, Adele avoids one-line sensational attracting things to say where people, oh, I have to hear that. The truth is quite often less sexy and a little longer.
Right.
And, you know, that's what it comes down to. So that's great. Thank you for correcting me on the meaning of bolus and, of course, chiming on in on inflammation. Adele Moussa, the website is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. If you have a question you want to...
No, just one of our listeners posted that she does not want to eat anywhere where she can see the meat with fur and hooves being dragged in the back in a garbage can, and that she didn't shoot it herself.
Yeah, that is funny. That's funny. Yeah, oh, that's about the Chinese restaurant.
The Chinese restaurant where they were using roadkill.
When's the last time you ate Chinese food?
I can't remember. It's been a while. A long time.
Many years for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was fat, I used to go to one of those Chinese buffets where you eat all the food you want.
Well, that's what this restaurant was.
And I loved General Tso's chicken. It's a breaded chicken in a sweet and sour type sauce.
Ooh.
I haven't had Chinese food in I don't know how long.
It's been a long time.
It's got way too much sodium in it for me.
In MSG.
Yeah. What else do we have to talk about, Halisa?
That's it.
Oh, my God. We almost
We're
did a
done.
Two, an hour and 51 minutes. We're going to be doing two-hour shows pretty soon. Okay. So thank you for listening to Casual Friday. We are done. Thank you for listening all week, and we will see you next week. Have a good weekend.
Bye.